crashing through the lies and disinformation. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We've got the one, the only Sean Stone with us about 15 more minutes. Then I'm going to air a special report, premiere it here on air. The UN wants to take over your town. And, you know, their capital is New York City. This is really happening. Now, continuing, we're talking to Sean Stone, film producer, film editor, TV host, TV investigative reporter with the new Jesse Ventura Conspiracy Theory Show. He's one of the co-stars of it. I was honored to be involved, and I haven't even asked him. I think I'm in three or four of the eight episodes coming up. I was on Big Discovery Channel show, Inside Conspiracy Theories or The Secrets of Secret Societies. That was, I didn't even watch it. Everybody said it was pretty good Sunday night. That's how much I'm into myself. I'm not really proud of that. I just, every time I talk about myself, it feels really weird now. I used to have more of an ego. People think I'm an egomaniac. I'm really an aggressive person who wants freedom. It just feels weird to go. I didn't even watch myself on that TV show, but I'm definitely going to watch this TV show because I like the people that are involved in it. Sean Stone, we've got this clip. Again, I don't normally get into a lot of this stuff, but, you know, you say you've been getting harassed and stuff. You're a prominent person. And I would guess that when you get these spoof 666 calls, we've had the NSA call us and it says NSA and we call the number back. It is the NSA, but I think that's someone spoofing it. So, you know, what makes you think with the harassment you and your associate who've now put out this film about Greystone that this isn't PSYOPs harassing you, sir?
I have no idea that it's not PSYOPs, but that's why I think it's important to put it out, because if it is PSYOPs, it goes to show you what kind of PSYOPs these guys are into. And it's obviously it is ritualistic. It's not just some pranksters in a basement messing around with this kind of stuff.
Well, before we get to this, what do you make of all these Hollywood people? I'm not going to name names, but I'm sure you know about it, who say that there's a satanic mafia, that the major starlets are under mind control, that there's massive Satanism. We know about the Satanism, the Rolling Stones with a dead kid in their room and didn't get in trouble. It goes on and on. But all these other women coming out saying there's control, and famous male actors running to Canada and saying there's a mafia and they're Satanist. Is that really just a mafia trying to creep people out saying ooga booga, we're Satanist, you know, wearing a white sheet? Or is there more to it? Because I've talked to some pretty high-powered Hollywood folks. I know you run in even bigger circles, but some of the biggest people out there, and they say, not just with Scientology and stuff, but that there are really weird cults and things out there.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know if it's not, they don't call themselves Satanists, but of course, you know, when you're in an industry that worships power, and the desire, you know, obviously the design of it is to keep people in a position of being consistently in need of the next level of power. So it's essentially a phallically designed system of control.
Isn't it ridiculous? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't know who is ultimately behind it, and you know, they're not all bad. You know, there's good people who are doing magic, but as someone told me, you know, recently, he said a lot of these stars that are involved in magic, you know, they believe that they're doing it for the best possible interest, which is, you know, to help their creativity, to explore, you know, other realms of consciousness, and to try to be a conduit, you know, of white magic. But he says they're ultimately being formulated through their involvement in magic into cult-like cells of control, and they're not realizing it necessarily. And I think that is more likely, that people are, you know, who have good intentions or want to do something positive are just also being manipulated.
Well, take Lady Gaga, Madonna, all of it. Those are all Kabbalic rituals. They admit they're rituals. And she's had her own crew go public. It's come out. She thinks she has to have people in the room at all times because ghosts and demons are after her, she believes. Is that mental illness? Well, regardless, she gets into the occult. Now this is happening to her. For me, that's just a door I don't open, something I don't go into.
You're not the only one. Like we said, Madonna talked about it years ago. You had Amy Winehouse talking about how her producer wanted to put her inside of a pyramid on her album cover, and she rejected it. And a week later, she was dead. I mean, she said that publicly in one of the YouTube clips you can look up. And it's just, you know, it's not just them. I mean, you get the multiple personalities claimed by Beyonce, and Rihanna's possession activity, weird, you know, acting possessed, and so many of these talented artists, like you're talking about, are showing the indications of MKUltra control. I mean, what is the whole concept of Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus? They're showing these girls, you can be like, you know, the sex kitten or the good girl. And you're still, you know, you're promoting multiple personalities in these people. It's not like overt, but it's there.
Well, here's an example. Joe Rogan, who's not into the occult, really smart, great guy, longtime friend of mine. He invited me out to a UFC in Las Vegas. And we went to the same pyramid that we, you know, did some interviews there for your TV show, Jesse Ventura's TV show, Tyrell show. And we go to the bar in the pyramid, and the VIP sections go up like a pyramid themselves. And everyone was just so just wanting to be at the top of the pyramid with Dana White of UFC and Joe Rogan, and I'm up there. And I was looking down at the people in the different layers of the pyramid, looking up at us at the top of the pyramid. And it was like parrots, you know, cockatoos in Australia that want to, you know, get on the highest perch. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, Joe wasn't even conscious of it. We were just up there drinking beer and stuff. But the other people were. And it was just so ridiculous to be being worshipped because I was sitting on the top of the pyramid. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. But that's why I say, you know, the concept of Illuminati and the rulers being all evil is not true. And Masons, not true. There are many good ones because at the end of the day, it's your spiritual path. That's what you have to choose. It's your choice. You know, do you want to use the powers that you have? It's a Faustian question. You know, do you want to use your powers to serve God, to do what's right? Or do you choose the easy path to manipulate others to gain worldly goods? And that's the choice every human being faces. So
sure, but I don't even think Dana White and Joe Rogan, that's just the most VIP area, is, you know, with three or four levels, like a pyramid, inside the pyramid, in the bar, you go up steps to the top, you're at the best view of the dance thing. See how it's all designed where people that aren't into this don't see it. And I'm up here going, we're on top of pyramid and everybody's looking up here at us. It was so incredibly obvious that we're inside a giant pyramid with Illuminati stuff everywhere. And I'm here with powerful people on the top of a pyramid. And then, I mean, why do the elites do that? What is the point of a pyramid within a pyramid?
A pyramid within a pyramid? Because there's always a hierarchy. The question really is, can we go from this hierarchical type of control system to something more of a circular reciprocity, a concept of a harmony of interests, you know, which is what I believe is the best order of society. Republic is based on the idea, right? You elect your representatives, they have to answer to you. You know, there's an involvement of the people. There's an education process that has to go on because each of us depends on each other. You know, there's no economy whereby, you know, right now we have an economy of slavery. We basically buy things from China, which is practically slavery. And a lot of the rest of the world, that we're buying cheap goods and we're thinking, hey, we're making a lot of money. But you're involving yourself in a system that promotes slavery, and it's forcing down your economic wages for your own work.
Exactly. So many good old boys, very well said. So many good old boys, they think, hey, we're getting it from the slaves in China. Ah, ha, ha. That's sucking everybody down. We're destroying ourselves. Why we abuse those people.
Exactly. And that's why the system as a whole is the pyramid. It's not about the Illuminati being eliminated people. There are eliminated people who are aware of it, but there are those who are just, you know, who are really just feeding into this hierarchical system, who are not conscious enough to wake up. And so the spiritual path is waking people up to realize every one of us is responsible for our destiny. We have to become participants in this world. We have to recognize the problem and start to fix it. We can't simply, you know, hey, sell out and just try to join the club and be at the top of the pyramid, as you said.
Well, that's part of it. As it gets more and more destructive, as the sucking sound intensifies, as people start dying at the bottom, not just living in squalor, then to be in the middle of the pyramid is to be in squalor. Whereas before, the middle of the pyramid was to be wealthy. And pretty soon, it's a tiny elite in armored redoubts with robots and drones protecting them and just destroyed mayhem road warrior outside. And then they call that Agenda 21 and admit that that Hunger Games scenario is what they're after. French Revolution-style Jacobinism. And then you find out that those at the very top actually are pit of hell, Hellraiser death lovers. I mean, I think that's what it is. And when we're unconscious, we give them the power.
When we're unconscious, we give them the power. As we wake ourselves up, we illuminate ourselves. We become the illuminated ones. We become the Illuminati. We can then challenge their reign, but only when we wake ourselves up.
But some will say, oh my gosh, Sean Stone here is saying join the Illuminati. No, it's a counterfeit. They say be illuminated, but they mean darkness for everybody else but them. But they're still not illuminated, or they would not be trying to hurt people. They are the ultimate victim of their own kind. When all illuminated means is you really see the big picture, you're outside the box.
You know, there's an interesting thing. When Dark Knight Rises came out, I had heard that word in my head for some reason, the consciousness, 3 years ago, Rise. And when I got phone calls over the years, it was always from what they called themselves the fallen angels, right? The fallen who'd fallen with Lucifer to Earth and were bound here. And I said to them, Rise, you can come back to God. And I think that was a symbol that was being sent out. The Dark Knight rises, right? The Dark Knight are like the fallen angels with the wings, right? And so, but there's a positive side to it, which is that the idea that the fallen can return home to God. And the negative side of which is like the Aurora mass shooting, promoting the Dark Knight, which is night itself, as opposed to a golden dawn. There's like a very interesting symbolism going on. So there's a war. Aurora was where the shooting took place around Dark Knight. Aurora is the goddess of the dawn. So that's the golden dawn. The Dark Knight is now is the place of the shooting.
Oh, okay, that was clearly a ritual. But take Bane in the first scene. Whenever the aircraft is hooked up to the other one, they're about to kill everybody on board. And the minion, he says, minion, you've got to stay here and kill yourself so there's an equal number of bodies. And the guy's happy to be sacrificed. So they're telling you this is a willing sacrifice, you know, the mm-hmm. best kind for the dark occultist. And he says, there's a fire coming.
Yes.
And he says, fire goes up. And again, that's rising. The demons are going up. And then they go up. They go up into the sky. The angels are coming back up. There's a fire coming. Fire goes up. You're absolutely right. That was all a ritual.
There's a lot involved in all these things, all these films. You know, you see it in Spider-Man films. You know, the triangles all over the place, the devil sign that he's throwing.
The last Spider-Man, the guy thinks he's going to the next level of evolution, becoming a reptoid.
Reptilian, of course, yeah. There's all these things that just, you know, it's fun because it's like how the human mind is evolving. And they're showing, they're planting the messages they want you to think about. And so, as I said, it's time for us to wake ourselves up, to start to listen and really think about what's being shown to us and conjure an alternative route. Or a counter.
Well, what Bane's saying is hell is rising, hell raising.
Yeah.
Fire goes up, a hell raising.
Yeah, yeah. There is a whole emerging. I mean, it was released on June 20th, which I think was the day of one of the moon landings. It's a very powerful day as far as astrology is concerned. So there was a lot of just a convergence of energies in that day, and I think, you know, we're in 2012. It's been an interesting year, man. I've seen people waking up more and more. They're recognizing karma. They're recognizing the consequence of their actions. So hopefully this is an opening to a more positive era, a realization of us as human beings and respect for each other as human beings, as opposed to becoming more virtual, which is where I think a lot of it's going with the technology side of the Apple and, you know, the Mac revolution and whatnot. It's like they want to put us into a virtual reality. And I say, no, we're in a physical reality. Let's treat each other as such, and let's try to elevate our fellow man in a physical context, not just in a virtual context.
I agree. And only use the virtual to reach into the matrix and warn people.
Indeed.
Wow, powerful. Let's play this clip. Now, what is this we're about to hear and see?
This is a phone call that Alex and Wraith and I received, and we received a string of them from people claiming to be associated with Albert Pike, who was... You know, he was a dead head of the Illuminati from the 19th century, and I think some people say he's still alive because he entered a different dimension, as is Aleister Crowley, apparently still alive, or time traveling or whatnot. But this was a group that was associated with him doing a ritual, calling us to try to basically tap into an energy, because we're working on our next film project, and they're basically trying to tap into the energy that we're creating, which is a positive, cheerful comedy of the fist, raising the fist, you know, which is basically the old symbol of revolution and resistance, right? We want people in the streets again. We want to have real characters in film. We want to enliven the spirit. And they're trying to tap into it and create a darker energy around us. And so that's what they did by calling us and doing a ritual. You'll hear this ritual that they're performing. They're trying to basically steer our energy in a different direction, a negative direction.
All right, let's go to that clip. Here it is.
The Dark Fist Rise.
There will be no Dark Fist Rising.
I am not. Oh, man, I know what they are. Cop,
there will be no Dark Fist Rising.
Oh my god, man. Tony, the Dark Fist Rise. What do you want, demon? What is your name? State your name.
In the name of God, you are banished. You should pray.
I am.
What prayer do you know?
State your name.
Fuck. say a prayer. Focus on the prayer. Focus on the prayer. Focus on the prayer. Focus on the prayer. They're doing a ritual to try
state
to...
State your claim.
Him.
State your claim. Calling Baal. State your claim, demon.
Baal's not going to come help them. Baal's gone.
All right, and you're showing the phone there because you kept getting these calls, so you videotaped it, and it's a few numbers and then 666-6666 or whatever. And I mean, yeah. Somebody could have spoofed that, obviously, but the point is you got weirdos messing with you.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, there's not many people know what we're working on. This is very confidential stuff. So the point is that, you know, I recorded it, and when I actually put that on Facebook, and I got a phone call from 666 that night from someone claiming he represented Azazel in the other side, and they were very unhappy, and they're probably going to be very unhappy that we aired it. But I think it's important to show that, you know, this is real. This is the kind of stuff that, you know, I've been dealing with for 3 years, and Alex has been dealing with for longer than that. And you know, people don't want to believe it. That's their choice, but it's our job to try to inform you and inform the public that this is the kind of stuff that goes on. These rituals are real. This is reality, and we have to confront that.
Well, I've been to Bohemian and Grove. And people say, "Oh, that's just a play." Well, that's where religion comes from. Is the original rituals were done up on a stage? People are watching, and exactly.
That's why films are so important. Rituals, aren't they? They're just like those plays of old.
Exactly. So they're doing it over and over again. And I was there. Those old men took that deadly serious. I mean, they were really getting off on this. They were taking it very seriously.
They do take it seriously. And that's why, you know, as I said, you can't make a judgment as to, and saying that, you know, they're purely evil. You know, they are, in this video, they talk about Baal. You know, they're worshiping Baal. And historically, Baal has been associated with demons, right? But it's pre-Christian, pre-Judaic. So there's an origin to it, and you have to have a respect for these entities that you're dealing with, and we have to inform ourselves and enlighten ourselves. You know, I don't think it helps to just write everything off as demonic, but to just let's start to talk about this, and let's become more informed as to what they're doing and why.
Well, I think Baal's demonic. I think they burn children to it, but it's all pretty wild. You know, all I know is some of this is covered in the new Ventura series that's coming up as well. I mean, not this specifically, but what is it, like four of the episodes are more, you know, classic things you can document, and I guess what four from what I've been told are kind of, you know, getting off into the Hintner land. But, you know, they did two of the series where they just hit mainstays, you know, not normally media covers all the occult stuff, but puts their own dumbing down spin to it.
Indeed, yeah, the occult has been laughed at, but frankly, you know, more and more it's becoming prominent. I remember the last 10 years because of YouTube, because of videos, and now you have films like Sinister, who openly talks about Bagul, which is basically a Baal type of creature, right, who feeds on the sacrifices of human children. This is becoming more mainstream. So, you know, 10 years ago, you couldn't talk about the occult in the same way, Alex, that you can do now, which is, like I said, it's positive in a certain sense. We can become more informed and enlightened about it. But it's negative insofar as we don't want people to then, you know, start practicing these rituals. I'm not trying to tell people go out and practice witchcraft or sorcery. I don't believe in that. I think that God, there's one God. God creates us, and we should worship God, and we should have faith in God's will. And to force your will, which is the Crowleyan dark side of magic, is to impose your will over the will of others. And that leads you to the...
No, instead, we let God work through us for his will. Absolutely. That's the difference. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look at the stuff coming out about Dominique Strauss-Kahn, admittedly in underground grottos in big Eyes Wide Shut orgies. The New York Times described it as Eyes Wide Shut. Mm-hmm. And this stuff's just coming out in the open. I mean, again, that's all about the will to go in public and have sex with people. It's all about, because that's not really fun. I mean, for normal people, in my view, you know, the whole point is about having the will to go out and do wild stuff like that. And that's just a doorway into deeper things.
It's a doorway, as you said, and it indicates certain levels of possession. You know, I've seen it in people who they blank it out. Like, it's like drinking too much. You know, you get even alcoholics. They don't remember what they're doing. Demon possession is similar. There are doorways that's how they control these. A lot of people, these people, I think, are under control of these entities or whatnot, the dark forces. And they're not always, you know, in control of their own faculties and are aware of it because they've given their soul. And that's the one thing I've always been asked. You know, it's like, give us your soul. And I always say, you know, you can't have it. God, my soul belongs to God. I don't know how I can give you my soul anyway. Only God can give it to you.
Well said. Sean Stone, thank you so much for spending time with us. Where can people find out more about the TV show or websites, Facebook, Twitter?
So Conspiracy Theory is coming out November 7th. There's a Conspiracy Theory Facebook page. Got a lot of followers, so they should check that out. Like I said, Greystone Park, my feature film, is out on DVD on, you know, Walmart and Blockbuster and on demand. There's a Facebook page as well for that. And then the next movie, The Edge of the Fist, which is going to be an action comedy to counter this kind of Dark Fist nonsense. They want to do Dark Knight, Dark everything. Edge of the Fist is going to be an action comedy. It's going to be, you know, good spirit. We have a website for it called fistthemovie.com. And we want to get the fist in the air again. You know, that's the sign, Alex. We want people back in the streets with their fist in the air and being socially conscious and radical, and just we need revolution, and that's the spirit of revolution, not against the Republic, but for the Republic of the United States.
All right, Sean Stone, thank you so much for the time. Maybe we'll cross our fingers and you'll get your daddy on here to talk about his TV show. Because, you know, I haven't asked you before to try to get him on, but now that history show is coming out, I'd really love to help him launch that. Thank you so much, Sean Stone.
Absolutely. Thank you, Alex.
All right, there goes Sean Stone. We're not going to take a break because it's commercial free until I'm back 11 a.m. tomorrow. We're going to take a chance here to air at least part of, as we get John Rappaport, investigative journalist, on, who I appreciate coming on a little bit late. The UN wants to take over your town. And then we're going to post this video up at Infowars.com. This is a part three of Melissa Melton and Aaron Dyke's report on just here around Austin, Texas, where they're coming in and taking over the private property and things, and it's all UN funded, and the UN brags that's happening. So here is the UN wants to take over your town. Folks, donate at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. That's the money that helps have reporters to do this type of reporting to be able to fight the globalists. There's too much for me to handle. That's why I've hired the reporters. We're launching the TV show. We're trying to get the satellite uplinks and get everything paid for. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Physically support. Don't just say you support us. Spread the word, donate, buy books, buy videos. All the ways you can support, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, and email InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com out to everybody. Tell them, hey, Alex Jones is on right now, 48-hour marathon broadcast with amazing special guests, special reports, and more. Here's one of those. We're coming back with John Rappaport via video Skype. Stay with us.
I'm Melissa Melton here with Aaron Dykes for InfoWars Nightly News, where we're attending the third in a series of sustainable development meetings here in Central Texas. Concentrated, smart, balanced urban growth, that's troubling to you.
That's downtown Austin. And this is not downtown Austin.
It's really up to you. It's your plan. It's your city.
The small town rural feeling is going away.
This is how Agenda 21 takes over a small town.
For the purposes of the survey, go with your gut. However, we've given you a hard copy of the survey.
This is a typical kind of push-pull sort of meeting. It's based on the Texas Triangle thing, where they're trying to increase density between Dallas and Houston and San Antonio. And Austin just happens to be in the middle of that.
These plans were created by a stakeholder group, correct?
Which plans?
Plans that you guys are talking about here, the ones that you're bringing here.
We're still in the process of trying to understand what people want in their towns. So there are no plans at this point. We have empty maps.
We're not starting from sort of an empty slate.
We don't have a single solution or agenda that we're trying to impose on everyone.
They're telling planners how to lie to the people and how to lie to elected officials and how to manage people like us, how to shut us down.
Ickley's Local Agenda 21 Planning Guide laid out the formula for successful implementation of sustainable development schemes, starting with a partnership and using a community-based issue analysis before putting the plan into action, then implementing and monitoring its subcomponents. Mari Strong, the leading voice behind the United Nations Agenda 21, endorsed the local Agenda 21 planning guide, calling upon local and regional municipalities to, quote, hit the trenches, saying, of the many programs that have resulted from the Earth Summit, none is more promising or important than this one, which has hundreds of local authorities around the world now setting out and implementing their local Agenda 21s. The planning guide explains how the use of local and community terminology gives legitimacy to this implementation of sustainable development, all while the stakeholder group made up of local corporations and bureaucrats is given the real power. I'm here with Jeff Barton, and he's been kind enough to speak with us at the past two meetings, both in Hutto as well as in, where was the first one at? Elgin?
Elgin.
Well, I tracked down the local Agenda 21 planning handbook.
The local Agenda 21 planning handbook, okay.
Yes, sir.
All right, looks interesting. Who published it out?
It was published with the United Nations Environmental Program, and it was published with the ICLEI. That's an NGO for local Agenda 21 implementation.
Okay, all right.
I find it interesting they use a lot of the same buzz terms. For instance, they've got a glossary here of some of their sustainable development planning. They've got community meetings. They've got public hearings. They've got vision building. They've got workshops. And they've got specific outlines for how to approach the community, how to define and build the stakeholders groups. A lot of the same terminology we see in the Sustainable Places Project, you know, developed through the consortium with CAPCOG and the other groups.
I don't feel like that's direction from the United Nations, you know, or from any nefarious group. But, you know, if that's the recommendation of the United Nations that you have a lot of community input, then it's one I would agree with.
Well, I'm at the UT School of Architecture, and this has been the assignment to all the major architecture schools for years to figure out a way to push massive density into the cities and into the small towns that they've chosen. And this particular thing is nothing but a Campo-related deal.
For more than 10 years, Campo and related entities have been pushing the larger sustainable development agenda as set out by the United Nations here in Central Texas. 1998, the Transportation Equity Act for the 21st Century, TEA 21, is enacted at a taxpayer cost of $218 billion for 6 years. The Smart Growth Initiative begins, and Austin, Texas hosts a national development conference. 1999, Central Texas Sustainability Indicators Project is launched. 2000, Capital Area Regional Transportation Planning Organization begins meeting. Transportation Excellence for the 21st Century, or TEX21, implements T21 regionally. 2001, Envision Central Texas, ECT, and the Center for Sustainable Development, CSD, at University of Texas Austin are both founded. 2002, Envision Central Texas holds its first public workshops and gathers community input in 5 Texas counties. 2005, the Capital Area Metropolitan Planning Organization, CAMPO, publishes its 2035 Regional Growth Concept Initiative. 2009, the Central Texas Green Print for Growth, a regional action plan for conservation and economic opportunity, is published by CAPCOG, the Trust for Public Land, and Envision Central Texas. 2010, the Capital Area Texas Sustainable Consortium receives a $3.7 million HUD grant, and the Sustainable Places Project begins. 2011, CAMPO releases a growth monitoring report spanning 2006 to 2010. 2012, Obama signs the $118 billion MAP 21, aka Moving Ahead for Progress in the 21st Century, to continue the TEA 21 initiative. More recently, we've seen local communities pushing back across the map, rejecting HUD grants and refusing to participate in Agenda 21.
We've seen members of the community begin to ask their own questions and speak back and give their own spontaneous feedback, something we didn't see at the past meetings, and in some cases it was a heated exchange.
I own guns. I don't think they're going to take heavy.
We'll go back and catalog.
Please don't take my comments negative. I support you 100%, but I want to make sure that what you deliver is something that's acceptable to Rippy Spring.
They were actually standing up and interrupting their pre-scripted PowerPoint presentation with their clickers and their questions. I mean, we had one guy stand up and say, "This isn't cool. You've got 4 questions coming up, and all of the answers are bad. What do I do? I don't want any of these."
So was there an option on these 4 different questions to vote none of the above? Otherwise, this community goes back with the idea that we want some of each of these 4 things in that area.
It was really throwing them off.
So how do we rush?
What I would ask is to go ahead and note that, and on the hard copy of the survey, we are collecting those, we are tabulating.
That's exactly what they're instructed to do. They're like, "Oh yeah, you write that on a post-it. We'll be sure and put it in the round file later."
Right, but you're welcome just to grab a pen and a sticky note and give us ideas about things you'd like to see.
Effectively, the people in here, by making multiple choice questions in a limited range of options, have effectively endorsed some big effort to go build a high density community, basically so that they can go back with a manipulated set of data that says the people of that community want this. Well, we didn't have a choice.
So to just give you a little bit of a rundown on how the KeyPad survey is going to work, all of the questions...
Why are these people here? You know, why are they bringing technology with them to kind of do this? I've seen in so many projects around Texas for any kind of development, huge amounts of money spent in the planning stage.
Does this grant go to any actual physical development, or is it just planning?
It's planning.
The entire grant?
Yes.
Were you aware that the $3.7 million they were awarded for these grants doesn't go to any kind of actual development? It goes all in their pockets towards planning?
I figured, and I didn't realize it was so much money.
How much is your firm getting from this grant money?
We're subcontracted. I don't even know what the exact number is.
Okay.
It comes down to all the planners, and then our firm has a fraction of that. So it's a very small fraction of that.
No discussion about who's really going to make the decisions and what where the money is going to come from for doing this. And we're kind of moving into the Hunger Games kind of a community situation, right, where we pack ourselves into little communities. And I've seen the maps that the UN and that the sustainable people put out with lots of little pinpoints around the map, lots of open space. And most of us here today live outside this community area, own homes that have, I've had property here for 45 years. So we have property that... we like to be able to do with what we want.
Tonight, we've definitely seen a lot of outspoken community members who were not ready to just pick choice A, B, C, or D, but actually wanted to be able to speak out and say what they felt about these planning meetings that are coming here.
Who are these anonymous groups driving this agenda who have the grant money? And you hear them wrapping up the meeting behind us, so we'll bring you more details on this report and future reports as they come along.
They're planning our future. It doesn't seem like a lot of input from us.
For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm Melissa Melton.
And I'm Aaron Dykes.
And that report is now up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com in low res. It was uploaded to YouTube in low res. I'm going to have it uploaded in high res to Alex Jones HD. So go over to the Alex Jones channel on YouTube and you see all the new channels we've got that are in HD. I'm going to make sure the three reports they do get up in HD. I've wanted them up in HD from the beginning. I mean, these are very important reports. You can send these three reports that Melissa Melton and Aaron Dykes did, produced by PrisonPlanet.tv, out to everybody you know, and they'll see what's happening in your town. The UN is taking over. Just going around Congress, as Schwarzenegger said 3.5 years ago at Copenhagen, he said, well, if we can't get it done here, we just go to the state level in the cities. Go look it up. It's in the news. I would take it over. And literally, they decide where you can build and take your property. And I'm sick of it. I mean, listen, I live outside one of these three towns they visited in Austin. I mean, this is happening where I live. Okay, this is happening all over the country. We're going to get your property. So I've had enough. Go donate at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. In just six towns around Austin, they got over $3 million to send in UN minions to go create an operation and rubber stamp that we all want to have our property turned over. Okay? I mean, listen. InfoWars for $5.5 million a year reaches 15 million people a week. No other media can do that. We need your support, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. If we raise $1 million, it'd be great. If we hit the goal, you know, really of $500,000, that's awesome. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Donate right now. Take action. Get in there. Buy the books, the videos, or just make a donation because you know you're literally buying war bonds in the fight for liberty and freedom. All right, I apologize getting on about 30 minutes late. I'm starting to get later and later with each guest, so it's causing a problem. But he was on Sunday. John Rappaport is here. He's got a bunch of breaking news about CNN manipulation in the debates. Also, more of what we covered Sunday when he was on the Sunday radio show, 4 to 6, where they just say, yeah, we're going to drug all the kids in school. It's just, you know, Ritalin and Prozac's good for you, period. I mean, it's all, well, the craziness is becoming evident. It's going to seed here. And he joins us to get into that and so much more. But let me put you on the spot, John. How important... I don't know your take on this, but I can guess it. How important is InfoWars.com, this platform, what we do? Because I don't know of anything else like it at this level that can bring all these incredible researchers like yourself and others to one place and to be having the effect we're having. And what would you say to people out there who are thinking about donating at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com?
Reach into your pockets and pull out as much as you possibly can. I've searched all over the web, Alex, and I don't find anything else like it. I mean, and I'm not just saying this, to hype it. I've looked, and I mean, this is replacing major media because of the so many varieties of people, researchers, and stories you're breaking every day. I'm on there 3, 4, 5, 10 times a day looking to see what's breaking as I'm doing my research. And the level of it, the presentation of it, the content of it, above all, it's far outweighs anything that I've ever seen. I mean, I got on the web, you know, with No More Fake News 2000, 2001, and there's just nothing like it.
Well, NoMoreFakeNews.com, we carry your great stuff because it's so good, your investigative reports, but that's what we've been able to do with InfoWars is pull it all into one spot and then also get it out to a large audience. So thank you, John, for saying that. I mean, that's why this...
Give major money to Money Bomb, InfoWars Money Bomb, because this is the biggest thing I've ever seen in terms of a news outlet that gives you the truth. I mean... the biggest, best by far from every direction. And I got to say something about Agenda 21, that clip you were just playing. I live in Encinitas, California, right? So downtown Encinitas, California has two of the weirdest developments I've ever seen. One is, and they're both mixed use, as they call them, right? They got little stores, and then they got condos up above the stores. It's all squashed together. And one of them they've been building for about 5 years, and the condos, get this, face directly out on the railroad tracks. I mean, God knows what horrendous price they're asking for this. I mean, it's huge to live there, but you are literally hanging over the railroad tracks. The other one, which is two blocks away, is another one of these like squashed-in outlets where you have little stores on the bottom and condos up top, and they're just trying to sell these things like crazy. I mean, logically, it makes absolutely no sense that anybody would build this crap. It's obviously an agenda to bring everybody close in together, live, shop, don't go anywhere, just go from your condo to the store, back to, you know, and then leave empty space all around it. It's total insanity.
It is. Okay, I'm going to try to give you the floor. In fact, I'm going to be here, but I'm going to step back and turn my mic off or I'll interrupt because I start getting ideas and want to back up what you're saying. Get into the CNN first or get into the drugging of the kids, because for the next 30 minutes ahead of our next guest, when Mike Adams comes in to co-host, well, he's going to be the host for 2 hours. You've got the floor, Mr. Rappaport, here. You're hosting for 30 minutes. It's all yours.
Okay, Alex, thanks. All right, let's start with the CNN story. Just breaking now, Mark Whitaker, who's a managing editor of CNN News, right, has sent an email to all staff, that means all reporters and other staff, saying that Candy Crowley, who's one of their own, who, as you know, moderated this insane debate, second debate between Obama and Romney, did no wrong, did everything right. We don't have to get into the details about the whole Libya thing and the giving more time to Obama than Romney. I mean, you know the details of the story. But the point is that now, all of a sudden, the managing editor of CNN News is, you can't mistake it. He's directly ordering all reporters on CNN to avoid any criticism of Candy Crowley, because she happens to work at CNN, but more importantly, because they want the Obama side of the story to succeed. This is unbelievable. I talked with a national news reporter, who's going to have to remain nameless, and said, in all of your years working at your network, this is not CNN, have you ever seen a directive come down like this? The answer was absolutely not. I mean, the implication, I think, was, you know, if they're going to tell you how to report the news, they're going to do it on the QT. This is wide out in the open. I mean, this is, the email was leaked, but it was easy to get. And now it's starting to be reported. I mean, can you believe this? You're working for a news organization, and the boss suddenly writes a puff piece about one of your own reporters and says, don't go after this reporter. No criticism. You've got to just say it was all wonderful and she did a great job. And in this email, you can read it yourself and see, oh, our girl did a fabulous job. It was wonderful in a difficult situation, nerve-wracking, yes. And she performed marvelously. Isn't it a fabulous thing? This is direct censorship of the news internally by the head of CNN over all of its own reporters. Complete insanity. Complete insanity. Second big story I talked to Alex about on Sunday here on InfoWars.com, and give money to the money bomb. That's why we're here, folks, for 48 hours. This is by far the most ambitious and successful truth news outlet anywhere in the world, InfoWars. It staggers me every day to see how they do it, with how much professionalism and how much content and how many stories they're breaking all day long. I mean, if the New York Times could do a third of this, of course they wouldn't. They would actually not be in the financial hole they're in. But that's another story. Okay, so, in fact, the New York Times ran this article about 10 days ago, didn't really understand what they were talking about in the article. I mean, this happens so often with mainstream media outlets. They run the story, they reveal some incredible facts, and then they just skirt away from actually admitting the implications. Well, two psychiatrists are leading up the charge to drug school children in poverty-stricken inner-city areas around the United States, to drug them with Adderall and other ADHD drugs. These are stimulant, speed-type drugs, have horrendous side effects, and they want to do this, and they're doing it already, without even making a diagnosis of ADHD in many cases, or just fabricating a diagnosis as an excuse to drug the kids for, get this, social justice. This is the new watchword. You see, we've got to put these kids from inner cities on a par with kids from wealthier families in school. We've got to increase their school performance, and so the only way to do this is to give them speed. Well, we call it Adderall, but that's what it is. It's an amphetamine-type drug. We've got to drug as many of these kids as possible so their school performance increases. Well, as I wrote in my article about that, first of all, that's a total lie, because even the American Psychiatric Association admits that in the long term, these drugs do not improve school performance, so that's complete crap. Complete and utter crap. Secondly, the drugs have intense and horrific side effects. I printed a whole list of those, including psychotic episodes, hallucinations, aggressive, violent behavior, etc., etc., etc. So what's happening here is very much akin to what happened in South Central Los Angeles many years ago, when top investigative reporter Gary Webb broke the story in the San Jose Mercury about the importation by the CIA of crack cocaine into South Central Los Angeles, which helped to destroy that entire community. This was in order to, quote, fund the Contras, who were at war in Nicaragua at the time. Well, this is a very parallel operation to that. Except in this case, we're talking about pharmaceutical drugs that deliver horrendous effects, including atrophy of the brain itself. Shrinkage of the brain is what happens when you give a kid, and that's what they're dealing with here, these ADHD speed drugs. So this is a form of torture. Also, in the inner cities, look at the volatile mix that you already have there. Complete wrecked poverty, no jobs, no prospects, no hope, no schools of, you know, to speak of. Add them all up, including already violent behavior breaking out to a greater degree in a number of inner cities in America. And now add to that gasoline mixture, the match, lit match of these drugs, which cause violent, aggressive behavior. Adderall, Ritalin, and other ADHD drugs. And so what we're looking at here is this whole baloney about doing this to equal out school performance for social justice is absolute insanity. It's a cover story, in fact. And what's happening under the cover story is this is yet one more assault to try to increase the level of violence and criminal activity, including homicide, in inner cities by flooding them with all of these high-powered, horrendous drugs like Adderall, Ritalin, and other speed-type drugs. If that weren't enough, add to this. But before I give you this piece of the story, again, the reason I'm here today, the reason all these people are here today contributing to this 48-hour marathon, and I know many of the people who are reporters, investigators, and so on, is so that you donate money to InfoWars for the money bomb. Do it. Reach deep into your pockets, because above all, this media outlet, which is completely independent, is having more of an enormous effect on what on public perception and how they now view reality and the news and what's really happening in the world than any other media outlet. I'm talking about truth in content, the real truth, stories behind the stories. I'm very serious about this. InfoWars is about to break out up onto another level. I know what the plan is. You've heard about it from Alex. They already have gigantic coverage around the world, and it's only going to increase. They are collecting all sorts of independent researchers and reporters from around the web who have been working like myself for a number of years, breaking stories, revealing the truth, whether it's medical truth, political truth, conspiracy truth. Yes, conspiracies are real. Ultimately, all about the globalist takeover of the planet. You're getting breaking stories like this every day. And to put this up on yet an even higher level at InfoWars requires mucho money. So give some to the money bomb, InfoWars money bomb. Okay, this is John Rappaport taking up the rest of this half hour for Alex and InfoWars with stories that you haven't heard or understood correctly in the mainstream press. So we've got these fantastically toxic and destructive and brain-shrinking and violence-causing ADHD drugs like Ritalin and Adderall being flooded into inner cities in America. But it even gets worse because these drugs are always gateways. They're real gateways into worse drugs like the antidepressants. Because what do you think happens to a kid or anybody when they take enough speed for a long enough time? They get depressed. It's called a speed crash. I mean, you don't need technical language to understand this. This is what is happening all around us. These kids go into a heavy funk. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to go outside. They just want to sleep. Why? Because these drugs like Adderall are robbing the brain of nutrients and putting them into a state of depression. So they go back to the doctor, the psychiatrist, and naturally what happens? He says, well, what we have here is an entirely new condition, completely unrelated to any of the drugs that I've been prescribing. It's called clinical depression, and for this I have to prescribe Prozac, Zoloft, Paxil. That's what he does. Now, those drugs cause manic behavior. They also cause aggressive, violent, homicidal behavior. At least one of the shooters at Columbine, if you remember that massacre in 1999, Eric Harris was on one of these antidepressants called Luvox. Grandiose plans to destroy large numbers of people. So now you've got these kids not only on violence-causing ADHD drugs, but now on violence-causing antidepressants, SSRIs they're called, Prozac, Paxil, Zoloft. And now what happens? Among other things, the kid is going up and down and up and down, manic state and down and up and down, out of control completely, back to the doctor, back to the shrink. And the shrink says, well, guess what? again, entirely unrelated to any of these drugs. Entirely unrelated. But the emergence of a new condition that we now really understand a great deal more about. It's called bipolar, or used to be called manic depression. And that's the problem with your child. So now we have to give them lithium, or we have to give them valproate. Well, these drugs can cause just fatal heart attacks and strokes, among other things, like massive intracranial pressure and so on. Do you see the road that these children are being led down? Aside from the increase of violence in the environment in the inner cities, which is the main covert op here, just the destruction of human life through these pharmaceutical drugs, while the drug companies, of course, riding high and making profits. You know, there have been stories breaking in the press over the last 3-4 months about how many fines these companies have had to pay. Add them all up, I don't know what it is now, 10, 12 billion, whatever, in just the last few months. Big companies like Glaxo and Pfizer and so forth. Well, just in case you're wondering, this is a drop in the bucket. In fact, in one of these situations, the company made $27 billion off of the three drugs for which they were fined $9 billion, or $3 billion it was actually. Do you see? They made 27, they paid out three. They already had the money in a slush fund ready to pay it out because they're just doing risk-cost analysis. How many people did we destroy? How many lawsuits could we incur? How many fines from the federal government? Okay, add it up, boys. All right, let's see. And what's our profit again on these drugs? Oh, well, no problem. What do we care? What do we care how many lives it steals, how many brains it destroys, how much violence it creates? We're the pharmaceutical kings. We don't care at all. All we care is that we have a nice, healthy margin whereby we can pay the fines and we're still home free and we're making big-time profits. Don't talk to us about anything else. And notice, interestingly, I mean, these people are guilty of murder. This is murder, okay, we're talking about. And the infliction of massive brain damage in large numbers of people. And yet, nobody is prosecuted. Isn't that magical? Nobody is prosecuted for criminal acts like negligent homicide, for example, accessory to murder, second degree, first degree murder. That's the one I would choose if I were the attorney general. All that has to happen is the order goes out to the attorney general, and he decides, okay, it's time, folks. We're going to arrest these suckers, the CEOs of these major pharmaceutical companies, on charges of accessory to murder, negligent homicide, first-degree murder, because that's an accurate picture of what they're doing. They're well aware of everything I've been saying here in the last 20 minutes. This is no mystery to them. They know the effects that their drugs are having. And they know that they've got the FDA in their pocket, and they can get a new drug approved anytime they want to. This is all a gigantic circle of death, is what it is. And that is what is happening, my friends. And the inner city story that I'm talking about here now is just simply one aspect of it, one simple aspect of it. Now you're going to see released in 2013 what they call the DSM-5. What is that? It's the new Bible of psychiatry, which is going to list even more than the already 297 bogus, non-existent mental disorders that have never been validated by science. It'll go well over 300, and that means more drugs, more diagnoses. This country is being eaten out from the inside by these pharmaceutical drugs. It's chemical warfare against the population. That's what we're looking at here. That's exactly what we're looking at here. And I must say very happily, as a longtime reporter for 30 years, just speaking for myself, John Rappaport, I am getting this information out in a way that I never imagined or dreamed possible through exactly what you're listening to now, Infowars.com, Prison Planet. They're doing this money bomb, Infowars money bomb, to get more of this kind of information out, more of not only the medical information, political, medical, death-dealing information that I've been discussing with you in the last 15, 20 minutes, but also what's happening around the world. Who else was constantly, I mean, day in and day out, several times a day, breaking the story about the U.S. and NATO using proxies in the Middle East and in parts of Africa to wage war and destabilize and destroy those societies? I mean, this is a gigantic ongoing story. And where have you seen it more deeply exposed through so many different vectors and reporters and researchers in exactly the way it should be than in Infowars.com, just to give you another example? I've long held that in order to make a story fly and have legs and fly, yes, with the public, a media outlet has to pound on it over and over and over and over again. That's the way, from different angles, to get the story out there. And then people come out of the woodwork confessing their crimes. People say, yes, I was part of this. This is what happened with Watergate, which was a minor crime compared to what we're talking about here. And so what you're seeing on InfoWars with just this story about using terrorists, paying terrorists, and calling them legitimate rebel armies and destabilizing societies all over the Middle East. This story was lifted and carried and explored and pounded on and exposed and exploded on InfoWars day after day after day after day in different countries from different sources with different angles in a truly astonishing way. The story would have never gotten the play that it did were it not for InfoWars. And that's what InfoWars is doing for many, many, many stories. And as a 30-year veteran reporter, I can only offer my thanks and appreciation to Alex and all the crew there for giving me the chance to expose many of these horrendous medical stories. So now I think you understand a little bit more about the money bomb, about what's actually happening, okay? Where you really get the flavor of where InfoWars is actually going, because I can tell you from being a reporter, I know where it's going. It's going up onto a level where it's already superseding by the numbers many, many, many major media outlets on the web. But this is really only, I would say, phase two of the InfoWars operation. Phase one was just getting established. Phase two was taking it to where it is now. And phase three is going to make it a global news outlet that will put some I'm biting my tongue because all manner of insults are ready to fly out. Some little potato head operation like CNN in its back pocket, never to be seen again, hopefully, never to be utilized, because InfoWars will truly have the kind of media platforms that will give it instant access to stories all over the planet. And the explosion that's already been occurring there is just going to continue.
John, you were just absolutely kicking butt. Mike Adams is coming in to do 2 hours, but he was asking after this little 6-minute piece, special report we're going to air as a break, if you'd come and spend 15 minutes with him when he comes back.
Absolutely, Alex. Anything I can do to help.
Well, listen, I mean, I got Sean to cover all the news and stuff, but I mean, wow, I released a monster once I asked you to talk about InfoWars. I'm really flattered by the points you've made. What you're talking about is our goal, and you know what? We're going to go for it or die trying, because things are so serious. They're so horrible. I get so angry hearing the news saying it's the law. You know, give your kids shots. It's the law. I mean, this authoritarianism is moving so quick that I've decided to stay here in the U.S. because this is a new world order, but we're right in the center of it. And so it's really life and death. It's like, wow, we better kick the butt of the new world order or there's no future. I mean, you know, that's the issue. They now admit mainstream news today. It's a global depression. They now admit all of this is unfolding. I mean, our credibility, your credibility, Mike Adams' credibility, it's never been higher. So instead of just thinking small and only reaching millions of people a week, we want to reach even more. And we are, it's hard to believe, reaching one way or another about 15 million a week. We need to increase that. But, you know, the weird thing is mainstream media has all these errors. They can get huge amounts of money with smaller audiences. They really are the mouse that roars, the emperor's new clothes, the Wizard of Oz, man behind the curtain. We're already gigantic, but we need people to support the sponsors, spread the word, and go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and donate. And more importantly, spread the word about InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, because we've got 43 hours or so left in this marathon transmission, and it can go so viral. It's already starting to happen. Twittering and Facebooking, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Tell people, 48-hour special broadcast, exposing the globalists now. We'll be right back with John Rappaport and Mike Adams, who's going to be hosting the show. Then I'm back in a couple hours. Stay with us, folks. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. It's the 2012 Info.